This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5 reads this way. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and being reminded, Lord, that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that we might understand the will, Lord, that you have for our lives, beginning with salvation, and then, Lord, until we see you face to face. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them as only you can. And then for those of us who have trusted you, may you build the faith that you've given to us in a way that would honor and glorify you and be a blessing to us. Allow us, Lord, empower us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth you've called us to be. And again, Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Walking in All the Commandments of the Lord, Blameless. Walking in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. And really, when you consider what the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ came to do and what his whole purpose was, it was to give us his righteousness that we might be blameless before the Lord. God wants us to walk as we come to know him as our Savior. He indwells us with his Holy Spirit. And he gives us how many of his promises? Isn't that amazing? He gives us all of them. He does not hold back. There's no reservations. The problem enters in with maybe our understanding. And I know it to be the case. You can look at it in the life of the apostles. You can look at it in the life of Abraham. You can look at it in the life of all that have gone on before. They don't completely understand what God is wanting to do. And even sometimes we try to help God with what he's trying to do, but our help is not what God has asked us for. Anytime we help God, it doesn't work. It's when we ask God to fulfill that which he promised to us that we can follow his way and not what we think. And that's where the battle really is all at. And so as we consider our text here this morning, what a wonderful testimony Zacharias and Elizabeth had. They were both blessed by a godly lineage. And consider America just for a moment. I know today America is painted with a horrible brush today, but I want you to know this was the bastion, and still is, by the way, of freedom. People that have been oppressed, people that have been downtrodden, had come to America for freedom, and that they might have the American dream is what it used to be called. But you have the devil and his crowd coming in, and they are lying and they are deceiving. Be careful not to fall into their side. Be careful not to go along just to get along with what people are saying. America is a very benevolent nation. Now, is it perfect? Show me one nation that is. Show me one nation that you would want to be like. You want to be like China? You want to be like Russia? You want to be like North Korea? You want to be like these nations that have rejected God and have killed millions, in fact, thousands for sure, but millions of people that have rejected the Lord. And so God has used this nation to point really people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. You know, even in the 1970s, when I was growing up as a little boy, You could ask anybody if they believed in God, and the answer would inevitably be yes, especially amongst those from elementary years all the way up to high school. I never heard of an atheist, unless they were an adult, saying something. I'm an atheist, and that was very rare. But now today, I dare say there's a lot of high schoolers and probably junior high schoolers that would say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And that was highly unheard of. So what I'm trying to say is that we have been blessed as well by having a lineage of pointing people toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you might find this hard to believe, but they would let people out of school when revivals were taking place to go to church. And so when I pastored over in Kentucky, the church I pastored was 203 years old in 2003. They had been through the bubonic plague. They had been through the Civil War. And there were all kinds of people that were church members there in that little church. They had seen all kinds of things. And they would tell me, the senior saints would tell me, I remember when they would let us out, we would come to revival here. And if it was a different building, but it was the same church. And they would the schools would let them out. You think the schools would do that again today? No, not even. Why? And that's because we're being deceived. The devil never creates anything. He distorts the things that God makes and tries to pervert them. And so let's adhere to the good things that God has given to us. Zacharias and Elizabeth had, again, they've been blessed by a godly lineage. They were both righteous before the Lord. This is what the Bible says. And they walked in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. The Bible says, blameless. Now, you and I can do that as well by the grace of God. And so one of the great truths in this story is that the Lord was not finished with glorifying himself through their lives. And they're up in years now. And so the Lord also is not finished with us if we put our faith or trust in him. God is not done. If you're here, the reason is because God has a plan and a purpose, his purpose, for our lives, and we can seek him for that, and he does want to reveal that. So this morning, I would like for us to consider three important truths that God wants us to understand in order to receive all of the blessings he has for us, and to glorify his name, and to praise the Lord for the work that he did in bringing forth his son. And he also wants to bring forth, listen to this, the Son of God in your life and mine. That's why the Lord indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. So the first truth is, faithfulness to our God is important, or a right heart before the Lord is important. Secondly, the Lord's purpose and timing in our lives. God has a time and a place for everything he's wanting to do in your life and mine. And then thirdly, the works on our faith, really, concerning the Lord, are until the end of life. God's not finished. And so we have to be willing to believe that, or we'll never be able to receive what God has for us. You're never too old for God to work in your life. You're never too old to enjoy the blessings God has for us. It's never too late until they close the coffin to seek the Lord with all of our heart and all of our minds and all of our souls. So back up with me here as we consider our text. And let's look at the faithfulness here to our God. Look at verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now that does not mean that they had sinless perfection. We don't ever reach that. But listen, can you go through life 5 minutes without sinning? I hope so. Amen. When we were singing praises unto the Lord, I hope our hearts and minds were focused on what we were singing to God in his glory. Can we go 1 hour? Can we go 1 day? Can we go a week? And see, if we're not careful, we say, oh no, we can't go that long. Who says? Who says? Now, again, let me just say this. We are not talking about sinless perfection. We will make mistakes. We will sin before the Lord. But listen, may they become fewer and may they be a lot different. May we consider, listen, God has a way. God has made us a new creation, has he not? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are ambassadors unto the Lord Jesus Christ to represent Him, not in our sin, but in His grace and in His power. And so may we consider it a sin not to seek the Lord with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls the way He wants us to. May we not be distracted by not bad things, but the things that would keep us from seeking God in our own personal lives. And so those things begin to shift. As we trust the Lord, He can overcome sin in our lives. It doesn't mean sinless perfection, but I'm afraid, listen, today, and this is why the church is powerless, the church has come to this conclusion. People in God's church say, oh, I will never overcome whatever it might be. Who said that? Not God. The devil would have you believe that, because that's how you'll stay defeated. But the Bible says that God enables me to be an overcomer, that I might be an overcomer, that I might be a peculiar people, that I might be a holy people for His honor and glory by His grace, by abiding in Christ. So this is important. And they had that kind of a testimony. And I'll be the first, and you're going to see it here, to let you know that they were not perfect. You know that. And so let's look at verse 7 and consider the Lord's purpose and timing in our lives. They're up in years. And God's not done with them. By the way, God was working in their lives, all through their lives, because they were fulfilling the commandments of God, and they were blameless before the Lord. And so they were not perfect, but they were truly good believers in God, and God was using them and He was pleased with them. But consider this. In fact, let me ask you this: when did God come up with His plan for Zacharias and Elizabeth? Do you think He just made it up that day? When? Before time even started. In eternity past, he had Zacharias and Elizabeth on His mind and what He wanted from them. Does that mean that God has also created you and me with a plan that He wants to fulfill in our lives? It would benefit us to find out, Lord, what is that plan that You have for me? I don't want to miss it. Now, that requires trusting the Lord and putting your faith where? Oh, not in the news? Not in the stocks? We'll never find them there. We need to seek the Lord, and He's given to us His word to guide us where? To Him, that we might walk in His way. So look at verse 7. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now, listen to this, well stricken in years. God waits for us to come to the end of ourselves that He might work and receive the glory of the Lord. And so we find the glory of God here. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, this was his time, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went in unto the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So listen, God wanted to glorify Himself in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, did He not? He also wanted to bless all of the people that were there with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Do you know that God wants to bless your life and mine? Wait a minute, it doesn't stop. He wants to bless through your life and through my life. He wants to bless our families. Wait a minute, it gets better than that. Not only does He want to bless our families, He wants to bless our friends. Wait, even better. God wants us to touch the world with His Spirit that they might see the glory of God. That's His. Listen, study the book of Acts. That is the purpose of God's local New Testament church. In fact, Ephesians tells us in chapter 3 that the purpose of the church, that what is the church? Oh, it's not the building? It's the person you look at in the mirror every day, right? So God wants to use the church for His glory to show the world their need of Him, that we might share what God has given to us. If you study the Apostle Paul, that was his business. Let me tell you what God has given to me that He's also given to you. If you'll look at the scriptures that way, you'll see a lot of important truths. So look at verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went in unto the temple, and the whole multitude, verse 10, of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing, listen, on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, do you think Zacharias planned on seeing that day? But it came on him. But you know what he was busy doing? He was busy being faithful to the Lord. He was busy seeking God and serving God. See, God wants us to seek him and to serve him by his grace. So they're busy doing these things and God shows up. That's just the way it works. That is the biblical pattern. Listen, as Abraham was seeking and serving, the Lord appears unto him to give him the plan, right? And so not only to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but also to give him a son that he might bring forth the Messiah, the Savior that was promised all the way back to Adam and Eve. All right. So he appears to him. And notice what happens here in verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. It's a fearful thing. And by the way, this angel had the glory of God on him. Notice this, verse 13, the first thing that happens. But the angel said unto him, fear not. The Bible wants us to know, the Word of God wants us to know, that when Zacharias, he was no doubt being led by the Spirit to do these things, and he was submissive to the Spirit of God, but now all of a sudden, God shows up. And God shows up, and the presence of God has intensified, and now he's troubled. He's fearful. But then immediately, the first thing he did was, fear not. Remember when the three disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter got this brilliant idea. This is what we ought to do. See, that's our inclination. Let me tell God what we should. We could do this. Let's build us some tabernacles, right? One for Elijah, one for Moses, one for you, Lord. Let's just camp out here. And then God came out and said, this is my son. What'd he say? Hear him. See, that's our trouble. You know who we hear more than anybody else? Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Oh, we're good at hearing ourselves. Here's the problem with ourselves. That ourselves will never and cannot lead us to God. We need the Spirit of God to find him. But as long as we think, oh, well, I got this. Yeah, you do. And that's all you're going to get is a bunch of yourself. You're never going to get what God has for you to see. And I'm afraid what will happen is we'll wind up in eternity and find out what we've missed. And God doesn't want us to miss a thing, beginning with eternal life. And so here we find the angel telling him the very first thing, fear not. And by the way, that's what the Lord did to the three disciples when they were trembling and the cloud overshadowed them. And then the next thing, the Lord was touching them, don't be afraid. And then it was just the Lord that was there. And that's our focal point. And then he says this again, notice verse 13. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Question, do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for a son for a little while? They're well stricken in age. In fact, they're not able to have children. And so God hears our prayers. The problem is that we don't understand God's timing. God wants us to see his timing, not ours. See, if it's our timing, we'd have it all done yesterday. That's not the way the Lord works. And the reason for that is because God knows more than you and I do. And God knows that there are not just about me and my life. It's about God, his glory, and the salvation of the world. And so everything God is working in your life and mine is for the glory of God. And as long as we're on the throne, the glory of God will never take place. Now, here's Zacharias, and he's been praying about this for a while. He may have been praying about it even that day while he's there performing his duties for the Lord. And now he says, I want you to know your wife is going to have a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And he was good with that, right? No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't good with that. See, the Lord's ways are not our ways. And so this probably was a little bit troubling, but this was the glory of God. And this is also, listen, the Lord's plan. God has a plan for your life and mine, but if we're too full with our own plans, listen, this is important for us to know. Did you know, could you guess, there's a difference between our plans and God's plan? There's a big difference, isn't there? So if there's a big difference between our plan and God's plan, and the question is, here's the real question, whose plan do you want? You might be fine with your own. Oh, but you'll miss out on the best plan, because the best plan is God's plan. How do you know that, Brother George? Because God's plan started with eternal life. And if it wasn't for that, what good would anybody's plan be? It would just be maybe for 100 years, and then it's done. With God's plan, it's eternal. It moves from this life to the life that never ends. Whose idea was that? Not ours. God's idea. God in eternity past said, I love you. How much? I'm going to put my son up for your redemption. Because there is no other way. Listen, if there was, God would have done it. Now you might say, well, I think he could have done it another way. No. I will tell you this. You are wrong, and anybody else who believes that is wrong. There's no way. Well, God being God, couldn't he just do anything? No, because he's a righteous God, and this is what it took to appease the righteousness of God. It required the death of his son. There was no other plan. There was no other way. And only our pride would defy what God is saying. God did not flippantly just give us his son. God gave us his son because the Bible says, for God so what? Isn't that amazing? Now there's a lot of people in the world that have a problem with that. They say unkind things about a loving God that was willing to give his son, but that is because they are ignorant and they've become fools because they've said to God, I'm rejecting your way. I think I got a better way. I think you're wrong and I'm right. What do you think they're going to find out when they get to the end of life? Who's wrong? The world is going to be wrong. See, unless we get on board with God's idea, we're going to miss really what life is all about. And so here he is appearing before Zacharias, and he says, I want you to know what I've come to bring. Verse 14, and thou shalt have what? That's what God is saying. You're going to have joy, he says, and gladness. And listen to this, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Do you know, as God brings forth, listen, his plan in your life and mine, that will bring rejoicing not only to us, but to many. And so he says this in verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. I'll be the first one to tell you, don't ask me, I don't understand that. All I know is this, ready? It's true. All I know is that's what pleased God. He's God. I'm not. All right? Did he make an exception? It sounds like it to me. I never heard of anybody before or since being filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But praise God, he could do it. And he did do it. And it glorified the Lord. And I'm good with that. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Did John do that? He did do that, didn't he? Verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's God's purpose. That was God's purpose for Zacharias. That was God's purpose for Elizabeth. That was God's purpose for their son John. Well, guess what? It's also God's purpose for your life and mine. Amen. That he might glorify himself in and through our lives. And until we seek the Lord and until we can see what God is wanting to show us, we're missing it. We are missing what God would have for us. And so we find in these verses here, the Lord had a purpose and a timing in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, as he does for ours. Now we come to this place here where there's a problem. The Lord, listen, the Lord works on our faith until the end of life, and Zacharias had a problem with trusting what God just said. Now, we'll look later on tonight, Mary received what God had to say. She said, so be it, right? In so many words. But look what happened here in verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, listen to this, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He said, how am I going to know this? Well, here's how. Ready? Same way you and I know what God said. He said it. Now, we either trust what God said, and if he's waiting upon us and he wants us to wait upon him in prayer, and if he wants us to call upon him that he might show us great and mighty things, are we called? Don't answer. Are we calling on him? Is God important? Is God more important than any other appointments you have in this life? That means we ought to put God where? Oh, that means before anything else in the daytime, we ought to make time to meet with God. Now, that'll reveal your faith between you and your God. What comes first every day in your life is revealing to you what is the most important thing. Listen, it's time to do business with God, because God's getting ready to do business with this whole world, and he begins with his people. He begins with his people. Did I make that up? Or is it in the Word of God? See, I want to stand on the Word of God. I don't want to stand on what I think, what you think, or what the world is trying to tell me. Because all of it's wrong, except for the Word of God. Listen, everything else is not so-so. It's wrong, unless it agrees with the Word of God. And so, he had a problem with this. So, the angel says, okay, I'm going to give you an answer here. In verse 19, concerning your unbelief. Verse 19 says this, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. You know, if he'd have kept his mouth quiet just a little bit longer. But I want you to know that's our tendency. That's the natural man. Listen, was Zacharias a spiritual man? Yeah, he was. He was. But he also dealt with the natural man. Do you see the battle? Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to what God's saying? Because God explained what was going to happen. And then, okay, Lord, then I'm going to... No, we fight with God. Well, I don't know. What are we saying? I don't know if I believe you, God. That's what he was saying. I don't know if I believe that. Show me, prove to me how this is going to all work out. So now he's going to get an answer. And to the glory of God, by the way. And by the way, God's being merciful, because he doesn't take his promise away. Listen, do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth were proud when that baby was born? A little bit? Do you think when John came into the world in their hands, do you think they glorified the Lord and thanked him for his mercy, for his love, for his grace, for his blessing? You know, there's coming a day, mark it down, when God is going to make everything and everything in our life that we thought ever went wrong, right. He's going to show us things that we would say, and what was I complaining about? I want you to know this. I'm not perfect. You know that. I sometimes do the New American Tradition. You know what that is, right? Remember what that was? That means we complain about what we have. That's the New American Tradition. Complain about what you have. Not what you don't have, but what you have. Complain about it. And so sometimes I'm guilty of that. So he says this. He says in verse 19, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. God has a time. God has a season. For everything, there's a season. God has a time. And we may not like the way things go, but God says, I do everything right. I do everything right. What do you think difficulties and trials are for? They build faith. They build trust only if we submit before the Lord. Listen. So when something doesn't go right, this is trust. You're in control, God. I receive that. I accept that. Do you mean even if things get ruined? Everything. When things go right according to our thinking and when things go wrong according to our thinking, God is still God in our lives. And I will tell you, I don't always understand that, but I've got to stop and say, yes, Lord. Yes, you're in control. Do you remember Job in his life? How much did he lose? Even his health. And what did his wife say? And I'm not picking on his wife. God was merciful to her and gave her 10 more kids. And that was mercy. And she was glad of that. There's no doubt. But listen, she said to Job, because of everything that happened in their lives, curse God and die. And he said, now you speak as one of the foolish women. Are we just going to receive the good? Listen, we're just going to receive what we like. And not the things that maybe we don't like. And now we're going to say God's not in control because things are happening that we don't like. Are we just going to be happy with God when everything goes whose way? Our way. See what we're saying? God, you messed up. You don't know what you're... Oh, yes, he does. No, I'll tell you who messes up. We do. Amen. We mess up every time we say, you messed up, God. We messed up. And see, God even needs to bring us to that place. Do you know trials are used to humble us and to prove us our faith? God knows where we stand, but how does your faith stand? Does it just stand when the sun is shining? Or does it stand no matter what the weather is? And I need the Lord for it to stand, because I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm weak. And until we face that, we'll never go to the Lord for our strength. Oh no, I got this. No, we don't. No, we don't. You might like to think that, but you really don't have it. And then we miss out on the Lord because we don't call on him. And so what we do is we train and teach ourselves to get used to doing things for ourselves, and we never see anything in God in our lives, and so therefore our faith is weak in him. How do I know that? Well, let me ask you this. What's the first important thing you do every morning? Is it seek God? And if it's not, there's a problem. And then let me ask you this. As you're walking with the Lord, are you trusting him to overcome sin in your life that you might be a royal priesthood? Are we empowered with the grace of God to bring glory to his name? And is he bearing, are we abiding in him as he's asked us to in John chapter 15? And is he bearing fruit in our lives? So and more fruit. God, listen, patience, kindness, long-suffering, all of the fruit of the Spirit is all bound and found in one person. You're wasting your time, as I've wasted my time, to ask God for patience, kindness, and the fruit of the Spirit. Because God does not piecemeal his gift. God gives us everything in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything. Amen. And so, what are we seeing in our own lives? It's high time, really, for the Lord's church to get on board with God, because the world more than ever before needs the testimony of God's grace in the lives of his people. Amen. They're not wanting to hear what we're saying. They want to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. We don't want to hear what... they know their lives are a mess. They know their lives are not right before the Lord. They want to see the difference Jesus makes in the lives of his people. That's going to be the witness. You can have people that are so good at telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not going to move people. Not like a life transformed but for the glory of God. And so, do we believe, listen, can God change the life of an addict? He can. Can he change the life of a thief? Can he change the life of a drug addict? Can he change the life of his people? Because I'm afraid sometimes we're thinking, oh, well, you know, I can never overcome that. And that's true. But God can. God can. And we need to believe, Lord, listen. When did God change your life and my life? When did God do that? When he died on the cross. And when did you get saved? Oh, Lord, would you go on the cross and die for me? Is that salvation? How about this? Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. How does God cleanse us from our sins? Lord, will you cleanse me from my sin? He's already done that. Do you need to start at 8 o'clock at night or after work and pray past midnight? Or do we say, God, I thank you that when you died on the cross for my eternal salvation, you've also given me all of the promises and the power of the Holy Spirit that overcomes the world. So we already have it. You know what the problem is? The way we see it. We think, you ever heard? Pray it through. Where'd that come from? Please, tell me, where did that come from? You see pray it through in the Bible? You know why? Because it's not true. Because God already gave it. We're not going to crucify the Son of God again. It's already been paid. And so God's wanting his people to put their faith or trust in him. Get it off ourselves. Get it away from the world and what it's saying. And getting it away from how we feel about it. You know what, Lord? I am thankful. And I'm going to walk in that truth. Now, let me ask you this. If you do that, will you still stumble? Will you still mess up? You will, but you're going to draw closer to the Lord. You're going to walk on the water. Okay, maybe only 2 or 3 steps. And then you're going to cry out, Lord, help me. And guess what he's going to do? Isn't that amazing? But then what are we going to do? We're going to quit? Or we're going to say, God, that was good. Never did that before. I could never do that. You know what? I praise you, God, for doing that for me. And do you know what, Lord? I praise you, God, because you've given that to me to have from here until I see you, and that's what I want to walk in. Me trusting you. Do you know what this story is all about? God changing our lives. Maybe it's high time God's people put their trust in what God has said about changing our lives. So Zacharias is having a hard time. He said, so I'll tell you what we're going to do. Verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know, God's going to fulfill his will in our lives. I hope we get to see more of that on this side of eternity than when we see him face to face. Verse 20, and that's up to us, because God's already given it. And so now look at the glory of God and his mercy in spite of our unbelief. Look at verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias. Listen to this. And marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. You know why he tarried so long in the temple? He was in the presence of God. Do you know what? Listen, when we're in the presence of God, we'll lose track of time. When we're in the presence of God in his word, it's not a chore. Oh, it's not a chore. When we're in the presence of God in prayer, it's not a chore. Now, I will tell you, many times I have wrestled in prayer. Oh, I've wrestled. I'll be the first one to tell you. I thought, oh my goodness, had to be 30 minutes. Five. But then I will also tell you, there's been times I thought it was 10 and it were 45 minutes. So God is true. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't have just sat there for 45 minutes unless God was speaking to me and doing something in my heart and in my mind. I wouldn't have just done that. And he'll do it for all of us because he is merciful. And so all the people marveled. Verse 22, and when he came out, He could not speak unto them. Listen to this. Look at the mercy of God in Zacharias' life to use him for his glory. Listen to what the people did. And the people, verse 21, waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, listen to what she's saying now. Do you think they know that they got a baby on the way? Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Do you know, listen, if we don't have anything to give to the world from God, not of ourselves, God wants to remove that reproach for his glory and our blessing. Do you know that God wants us to be a witness by his power to the lost? But we have to realize we can't do that in ourselves. It has to be the power of God that will make the difference. How does that take place? Well, first of all, God is worthy for our faithfulness. Lord, I need you, or I won't be faithful to you. I need you to do these things in my life. Secondly, that we need to be reminded that the Lord has a purpose and a timing in our lives. And then the last thought is the Lord works on our faith until the end of life. He's not finished. No matter where we're at, he's not finished. So this morning, do you want anything from God? Because he surely has a lot. He's already given it to us. But we need him to give us the understanding to receive it. Lord, you've given me a lot. It's already given to me. Show me how to have possession of that. Help me not to be misled and to think I have to. See, praying it through, grinding it through, that's me. Oh man, look what I prayed X amount of hours. What'd you get? Same thing you had before. You know why? when I'm doing it, who gets the glory? Not God. Look what I did. You be careful doing that kind of stuff. You might come out doing some crazy things. But if we seek the Lord, he will show us his way. And so this morning, God says, come to me. You know what we should say? Oh Lord, bring me to yourself. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, what would we ask from the Lord? Because it is his invitation. And of course, our opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And for your work in our lives. Lord, may you wake us up, stir our hearts, set our souls on fire, Lord, because the time is truly desperate and dark, and the world needs your light that you've given to us to shine into the world. Bless your people here this morning. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you reveal that to them. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.